This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Caroline and Ezra on the evening edition. Now, this story came up on my timeline earlier this morning about the death of Stephen Hawking. He was age 76. And of course, he's probably the best known scientist in the world. And he was a theoretical physicist whose early work on black holes kind of transformed how scientists and the public think about the nature of the universe.
Oh, absolutely. A legacy that will live on for many, many years. I think just from, I guess, my own layperson's point of view. You know, I thought of him as a deeply disabled genius.
Yeah.
You know, just one of those figures you think would always be around. So it was quite shocking.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought he would always be pushing the cosmic boundaries, you know, stirring up debates about cosmology, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, that huge biopic about his life, The Theory of Everything, got all of this critical and commercial acclaim as well. In one of his bookmark episodes, Uma Pagan Apike Pagan spoke with Lucy Hawking. Now, Lucy is one of Stephen's three children, and they spoke about her famous father, and she puts things in perspective after Uma asks her this question.
Okay, so let me try and give you a proper answer to that question. What's it like to be the daughter of Stephen Hawking? It's sort of, there are two very striking features about it. The first is that I grew up as the child of a profoundly disabled man in an era when disabled people, it was not common for disabled people to have children.
Right.
It's actually something that you see far more of now, especially with shifting demographics, with huge advances in medical science, with greater longevity. You're now starting to see patterns where people with disabilities can survive over quite a long term. And so you do see them with children. But in the 70s, you really never saw that. And my father had an electric wheelchair, which was self-propelled, and he was determined to be as independent and as autonomous as he could.
Right.
And again, that was very rare, because really the only disabled people you saw at that time were being pushed along in a wheelchair, maybe by a nurse or something. They certainly weren't careering at top speed in an electric wheelchair.
And of course, society didn't know how to handle it either.
No, not at all. And then, to make it even odder, this disabled man would have two little children with him, be me and my older brother, two little blonde moppets running along behind him to go to the ice cream van or something. And people would just be absolutely flabbergasted. They would literally stop and stare.
That was Lucy Hawking, one of Stephen Hawking's daughters, talking about, sharing an anecdote about her father, Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, apparently he was notorious for, his wild driving along the streets of Cambridge.
Right.
So you can imagine that, right? He had all this intentional running over students' toes, the occasional spin on the dance floor at college parties, really colourful.
Well, we'll be joined by members of the Malaysian scientific community. That's coming up shortly after this on BFM 89.9.
Breakfast for Masters, BFM 89.9.
It's Caroline and Ezra on the evening edition, 5:13 p.m. We're reflecting today on the life of Stephen Hawking, the best-known scientist in the world, arguably, of course, a theoretical physicist whose early work on black holes transformed how scientists think about the nature of the universe. We decided to reach out to the local science community to hear how they're responding to this news. First on our line is astrophysicist Dr. Mazlan Othman. She's the director of the International Council of Science Regional Office for Asia and the Pacific. Professor Mazlan, we really appreciate you taking our call. Tell us, how do you feel about the passing of Stephen Hawking?
I'm very, very sad, of course, because he has had a lot of impact on me as an astrophysicist and also on the work that I do, which is mainly related to public outreach. He punches above his weight in terms of his reach to the public, you know. He never won a Nobel Prize, but what is important is how science is communicated to the public, and he had it down to a pat, you know. With his book, A Brief History of Time, you know, it was on the bestsellers list for many, many years. I cannot imagine any scientific book like that would stay so long on the bestsellers list. But that's Stephen Hawking for you.
So in your opinion, what do you think was his biggest contribution to the scientific community?
One of his biggest contributions was about his theory on black holes. Before his theory, everyone thought black holes would last forever, and he came up with the idea that black holes finally die. they, like every other thing, they fade away. And this was a new idea at that time. And this was in keeping with Einstein's theory of relativity. Some scientists, serious scientists, find him overrated simply because the public interest was too high. But I don't think that that is a very good way of looking at a person's contribution. It's not about Nobel Prize, but you know, you may win the Nobel Prize and never make any impact on society. And having an impact on society, inspiring young people, inspiring scientists, and getting people curious. So people, when they read his book, they don't understand everything, but it didn't matter, or it doesn't matter. People will still try to plow through his book and become curious. And I think that is what is important.
Right. And Professor Maslan, I've been made to understand that you've actually met him in person before. So tell us, what was he like in person?
Oh, he's very, very nice in person. Somewhat flirtatious, I think. So he's human, you know, he's very normal in terms of his interactions with people, except for the fact that he has to communicate with you through his computer. He came to Malaysia in 1994, when I was still running the planetarium at the time, and he gave a talk. The Prime Minister was in the audience, and also the Speaker of the Parliament, you know. Everybody wanted to come to his talk. You know, Malaysians never want to listen to scientists, yeah. Right? They're not interested in listening to scientific lectures, but not when it came to Stephen Hawking.
Professor Maslan, thank you very much again for speaking with us. That was astrophysicist Dr. Maslan Othman, who is also the director of the International Council of Science Regional Office for Asia and the Pacific.
Now, we have Fabian Bouye on the line. He's the founder of Publici, a platform that aims to make science accessible to everyone. Good to hear from you, Fabian. Now, tell us, how has his passing affected you?
I mean, personally, it's one of those, you know, deaths that really, really affects me. You know, I've been an avid reader of his papers and his books, and knowing that this is all I would ever read from him, you know, breaks my heart a little bit. So, yeah, a little bit sad, personally, for sure.
Yeah. So as, you know, an avid follower of his books, his research, could you tell us perhaps why you and so many other people were so taken by his work?
He definitely did, you know, and he was one of the person as well that was not trying to break it down too much, because there is some concepts of science that you can't just, you know, put in layman's term to make it understandable. But he did romanticize the language, and every time you were reading these books, you can actually picture things. And you know, the art has always been a wonderful medium to convey messages, especially around science. And he was really good at taking us on those beautiful journeys that, you know, will make us wonder about the secrets of the universe, you know, and I think we'll miss that very much.
Fabian, do you think he's also been able to make science accessible beyond what he's done with his writings?
You know, I think he really did embark on that journey, very much like Carl Sagan and Neil deGrasse Tyson, and more recently to make that knowledge accessible to everybody. And he did really much contribute to that by writing the, you know, Brief History of Time and all the appearances that he did, you know, in colleges and universities and on TV to bring that knowledge to the people. And he had an incredible sense of humor as well. You know, he had a few interviews with John Oliver, but, you know, you end up having a laugh. And it's not every day that you can actually watch scientific content and be entertained at the same time. So I think in his way, he was just an incredible contributor of the scientific knowledge to the people.
So Fabian, you and Hawking, I guess, are technically in the same line of work, which is, you know, to make science accessible.
This is true.
That's what I'm going for. So did Hawking serve as an inspiration to your work in any way?
Anybody who fights for science is an inspiration. I think Stephen Hawking really, really did it, overdid it in a way that most of the calculations and most of the theories happen in his mind. And how did he actually, you know, was able to extrapolate all that wonderfulness out of the chair that he was bound to is just magnificent. Everybody should have the deepest respect just for being able to take this knowledge and from within and making it accessible to the world. And I think that's very much what we're trying to do as well. If we could do as much as he did, I would be very happy about that. But we can only work in his shadow for now and hope that, you know, we can contribute in our own little way.
Fabian, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us on the Evening Edition. That was Fabian Bouye, founder of Publici. And I must say, Stephen Hawking's involvement in pop culture has probably affected me in the way that it had been imagined, in the sense that, you know, I read a brief time...
History and Time.
Yeah, A Brief History and Time. I remember reading it as a university student and I couldn't get through it.
Yeah.
And then...
Don't think you're the only one.
Right. And then the movie came out about 4 years ago, The Theory of Everything, and I really enjoyed the film and I tried reading it again and I got through a lot more of it than I expected to be. And it's the key thing about making very, very complex ideas like black holes accessible to the common man.
Absolutely. Just making it relatable. Uma would be so proud of you.
That I got just a little bit further than when I did 10 years ago. Yeah, that's a good thing. 3 years ago in a Q&A session online, when asked what his favorite song was...
Not Uma, but Stephen Hawking.
But Stephen Hawking. It was actually Rod Stewart's Have I Told You Lately. And so here's to the world's favorite starman, Stephen Hawking. Rod Stewart, Have I Told You Lately on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.